Now, last year's Telework Act really helped to push telework to the forefront. Agencies have had to create policies and tell employees whether they're eligible. So now what is the big hurdle?
A lot of the time, it's only the supervisors themselves, but you can imagine their dilemma. I mean, they're nervous. How are they going to know if an employee is working if they can't see them doing that just right in front of them? Justin Johnson is Deputy Chief of Staff at the Office of Personnel Management, and he moderated a panel on this issue of managing mobility.
People enjoy telework. They enjoy the freedom of it. They feel like they get more work done at home. So the benefit to the employee is very clear. The benefit to agencies that we talk about, whether it be real estate savings or energy savings or retention, the things that we talked about today, those really accrue at the agency level. So the challenge is, how do you make that frontline supervisor who might be a little nervous or resistant about telework see the benefit for them?
So Johnson says that agencies should let supervisors know that they're responsible and they're expected to contribute to some of these rewards, whether that be saving the agency money because it has a smaller footprint, it doesn't need as much office space, or whether it be retaining those good employees or any of the other benefits, and that supervisors should be evaluated along those terms. Similarly, he says everyone has to adopt the idea that managers manage the work, they don't manage people.
Well, let's say a manager is sold on the idea of telework. Did the panel talk about what that person can do to make telework work?
Yeah, well, what they said in this managing mobility forum is that the big item is not technology here, but it's trust. And managers just have to figure out how to let go of the leash of their employees. Martha Clarkson is the global workplace strategist at Microsoft, and this is an area where companies are well ahead of agencies.
So you got to err on the, I trust them, they're out there. And then if there are problems, you got to shore up the dam. At least that's my experience, rather than the other way of, well, I'm going to start out really structured and then, you know, I'll get looser as they prove themselves. You know, nobody likes to work under that.
People like the freedom again, and that requires that supervisors, again, focus on the work, the output, that people are doing their jobs, and not whether people are clocking in and clocking out.
Did they talk at all about how that would specifically apply to the federal workforce?
Well, here's an example. Jim Nabors is the long title, Principal Deputy Director of Requirements and Strategic Integration in the Office of the Undersecretary of Defense for Personnel and Readiness at the Defense Department. So he manages about 240 people, I believe, at DOD. And a few years ago, he realized that the BRAC process, the Base Realignment and Closure Commission decisions, could actually be a big disincentive to a lot of his staff because they would have longer commutes. So he asked them if they would stay if it meant that they would only have to come into the office twice a week.
Patent examination and trademark examination. It's very complex work. And we feel that these individuals need to be with a team, with a mentor, with a supervisory patent examiner or trademark examiner before they can work independently successfully. And certainly we want to deploy them with the tools that are going to ensure their success. So in that two-year period, relationships are established.
Not Nabors at all. That's a woman. It's Danette Campbell of the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, and she's explaining about what she does. But briefly, Nabors at DOD, he asked his employees if that meant they would come into the office only twice a week. The employees took to it, and Nabors established this telework program. Slowly, he took away office space that endeared him to facilities managers there. He befriended the technology people so that everything was running smoothly, and he convinced his boss that was a good idea because it was saving his boss money and it wasn't affecting productivity at all. So basically, telework was his way of retaining good employees, of making sure that the business gets done. And at first he had them email him when they started working, but, you know, then he got comfortable and he basically said, get the work done. I don't care where you are and I don't care when you work. Just do it.
And we heard from Danette Campbell of Patent and Trademark Office, and she's practically the godmother of teleworking. She's been at this for a long time. I'm wondering what managers should not do. Did that come up during the sessions yesterday?
Yeah, well, Campbell was saying, actually, they were all saying that managers should not let employees use telework as an excuse not to work. They still have to be flexible. You might be on a telework day, but then there's an important meeting at 10 a.m. Come in to the meeting. Still have a suit in your closet so you can do that. Don't be in your pajamas. When there's a snow emergency, people can't come into the office, so those people can't work, but teleworkers can. And Campbell says managers should make sure that all of this is in the telework agreement that an employee has to sign before they begin this program.
If you are going to telework, if you're going to sign an agreement, you're going to participate in this initiative, you understand from the very onset that if there is the threat of inclement weather, right now we've transitioned to a universal laptop, then you take that laptop with you when you leave the night before, and you will be expected to continue to work the next day. It's that's it. It's very clearly defined. It's in our policy. If you have a telework agreement in place and you choose not to work for whatever reason, children at home, you know, the dog's broken, it's like, you know, whatever, then you simply take leave.
That's right.
And then sometimes there are employees who are all excited about teleworking, and they get home and they find that for whatever reason telework isn't for them. Maybe they have small children. Maybe they just feel isolated. In that case, Campbell says the agency does welcome them back to the office. And finally, in terms of what managers should not do, this might seem obvious, but not let employees take classified materials home with them. So at DOD, Jim Neighbor says those employees can't telework from home, but they can telework from various positions within the Pentagon or within Andrews Air Force Base. So they have some mobility. They're not chained to their desks either.